last week we talked about, I mean, week before last, we talked about developing and training people in kingdom principles and lifestyles. And so we talked about that, but the second one is making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ-likeness. Praise God. I think the last thing we talked about was we talked about the church right before we get to this next principle. Talked about the church. The Ecclesiastes of God called out for specialized tasks of extending and advancing the kingdom of God. So we said instead of being the glorious church the Father desires, the author states the church is weak and anemic. Anemic, lacking force, power, vitality, and spirit, because it is filled with people who know nothing about kingdom living and kingdom values. And that's one of the things that the apostle talked about, how, you know, the westernized church really, it's really hard to have a democracy mindset and understand kingdom principles. Because, you know, it's two different worlds. So unless we really understand, really study about the kingdom of God and how a kingdom operates, are you first of all, you got to know that in a kingdom, a king rules. And so whatever a king says is law. So you don't even have an opinion when you come down to a kingdom. But, you know, in a democracy, you know, everybody vote on this and everybody got an opinion. And so when we start looking at a kingdom and we have this democracy kind of mindset, then we really can't tap into it the way we need to and really see the results that we need to see. So it's really important that we understand about how, you know, living in the kingdom and kingdom values and that sort of thing. So and as a result, they'll only reproduce after their kind. The seed and seed time and harvest is at work in the church. So now, the second governing principle we want to talk about tonight, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. So now, the making process comes after the following process. In Mark 1:17, it says, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishermen of men. So all believers in our churches must be wholesome in the areas of their manhood and womanhood. So it says there in that verse, it talks about Jesus said to them, follow me. So the making process comes after the following process. So when a person is not following, it can't be made. You with me? So now, then the author mentions four specific areas of seal or secure maturity into manhood or womanhood. And they are marriage, motive, morality, and money. So let's deal with marriage first. Kingdom marriages must reflect the relationship of Jesus and the church, according to Ephesians 5:22-23. You know, one of the things that I have seen in ministry, a lot of people who really was really people that love God and that kind of thing and stuff, but they just didn't have their house right. They just didn't have their marriages right, that sort of thing and stuff. And so Satan used that to disqualify them from really attaining all that God had for them. So see, the kind of got to have the kind of relationship that must penetrate from all the activities of a husband and wife together as one is a relationship of sacrifice, honor, and submission. So there has to be those three things: sacrifice, honor and submission. You know, I've had men to say to me, say, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. The Bible says she's supposed to submit to me. I'm the man of the house. She's supposed to submit. But the Bible also said that the man is supposed to give his life for his wife. Praise the Lord. Like Christ gave his life for the church. So a lot of times, God help me. You know, the Bible says in Genesis, when God first created man, God, when he created man and woman, he said, let them have dominion. So if you go down through that, you see all that God gave man dominion over. Fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, you know, over every creeping thing and that sort of thing and stuff. But God never gave people dominion over each other. So a husband and a wife, you can't practice dominion over one another. And so, and watch this. Submission has to be 100% the will of the submitter. Submission can't be forced. It has to be a person's, I think I told you, submit. When you submit, you just under another's mission. Submission is under another's mission. So many times husband and wife think that submission means that, you know, I'm the big dog, you the little dog. And I call the shots and you just do whatever I say, dude. That's not the way God ordained it to be. The Bible said that we are submit to one another, not just the husband, the wife submitting to the husband, but the Bible said we ought to submit to one another. So if you're really going to be, we really have to have these things in place. We really have to make sure that we have an honor. There's times when I hear men, you know, they say, well, Pastor, you know, my wife is this and my wife is that and my wife, she don't cook and she don't that. I said, now, why in the world would you uncover your wife in front of me? Why would you? I mean, you wouldn't physically bring her in here without no clothes. So why would you come in here and just strip her naked, you know, uncover her before me? Because whenever there is a situation in the house, it's not just one person. And it's always two sides to the story. Your side, you know, is your side, her side, then that's the truth. But it's one of the things that has to really be in place. So, and then our spouses should be our best friends and companions in our lives journey. No one else should find that place of closeness with us emotionally or mentally. You know, I had some guys used to be my friends, you know, pastors and that sort of thing. And so they would, you know, I would talk to them about counseling. When they're counseling a woman, I used to tell them, I said, I always have your wife in with you. But you know what? They laughed me to scorn. Oh, man, you don't understand how this go. And I wasn't a pastor then. So they were pastors. So, you know, they were like, you know, he don't understand, you know, poor fella, you know, we can't pay no mind. So I went to this guy's church to preach for him. And so while I'm in his office, this lady come in his office and she all over him and she just laughing and then just laughing and I'm just sitting there. I said, I wonder, I knew his wife. I said, I wonder who is this? So the lady left out. I said, is she related to you? He said, oh, no, that's one of my members. I said, man, you can't allow that. He said, oh, man. He said, you don't understand. I said, okay. You know, I'm just a guest speaker. You know, I'm not a pastor. I just went to the church to minister. And so I said, well, let me tell you this. I said, that woman right there is going to be trouble for you. And so he laughed me to scorn. About, I don't know, 6 months or so later, he was at my front door knocking. And I go out the door, and, man, he on his knees. I say, what? You know, I know somebody is knocking on my door, but when I go to the door, I'm looking out. I don't see nobody. He down on his knees crying. He said, you know what? If I had listened to you, I wouldn't be in this shape. He said, I went to minister somewhere. My wife didn't go with me. The lady came, and he wanted some. He forgot his toothbrush, his toiletry stuff, and he had forgot it. And so the lady said, "Is anything I can do for you, Pastor?" He said, "Yeah, I'll go to the store for me." He said, "While you're there, give me something to eat." And so the lady went and got him something to eat. And when she came back, she had her bag too. She said, "Can I come in and eat along with you?" He said, "Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with it." And from there, Satan put him in a trap. It never should have happened. But sometimes you can have an ego so big till you don't want to adhere to sound instructions. Y'all with me here? And so there is no way that if you're married, you're a man or a woman, nobody should, you should have nobody who you share, you sit down, you know, let's just say you got somebody that worked with you and you know, you came from home and things wasn't right and you sit there and say, they say, what's wrong? I got an ear. We know what you're going through. And you start talking about, well, my wife not cooking, you know, and she not being a wife as far as having sex and that kind of thing. You should never share that kind of thing with somebody else. No, because what it's going to do is it's going to open up a door because you and that person, feelings are going to start, you know, getting in the way. And from there, it's gonna be a mess. Praise the Lord. So now I don't know if I told this to y'all, but let me tell it to you. When I first started following the apostle, my wife and I went sit down and talked to him. And so we sat down talking to him, and he looks at me. He said, "Now you got a nice looking wife." He said, "Now if I hear that you messing around, I'm gonna break both of your legs." I mean, just going to break my legs. You understand? So I said, "My goodness, this is the kind of person I need to be following." Now, I was following. I mean, the gentleman who turned the church over to me, he was real strong. He was real. And but I mean, that man, he the one that told me to start following the apostle. So I say, "Boy, God put me under a strong man and stuff." And then when the man retired and turned the church over to me, and then he pointed me right to the apostle. And then the man told me, "Say, we ain't playing no games now. We're not gonna play no games." He said, "If you're gonna follow me, you're gonna follow me. And you're not gonna be messing around, that kind of thing and stuff." So that's why it's so important for you to have the right person in your life, the right spiritual father in your life. Somebody who ain't gonna play, somebody who's not gonna play with you, somebody who if it calls for it, gonna break both of your legs. He didn't say, "I'm going to break your legs." I'm going to break both of them. That's what he told me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So Ephesians 5:22-23 says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. To give an occasion or room for such an advance will open the pathway for an immoral lifestyle of flirting, emotional adultery, and sexual acts itself. The believers must be well disciplined in their marriages and well nourished with every spiritual help they can get to raise the standard." Now, they really don't have to raise no standard. The standard already been raised. All they need to do is just reach for the standard that's already been raised. In this corrupt world where life together in holy matrimony is ridiculed by the media and the world system. So we must have a conviction of still that ministry is not complete or wholesome if the family is out of order. Praise God. Now, you know, we got to realize that, you know, God is our head. Nothing should come before God. Nothing and nobody should come before God. And we have to realize we have a family. And a lot of times folk let ministry get ahead of family. And so, they be so busy doing ministry and stuff, and then the family go on the pots. You understand what I'm saying? And Man, that's one thing that I appreciate about Apostle. I've watched close. I've seen how, you know, him, mom, the Royal family, I mean, the children, everybody, I mean, they got them lined up. You understand what I'm saying? And so it has been such a blessing to, you know, let me share something with y'all. I got about 4 or 5 more minutes. When I first started out, I didn't go to my old pastor until I got in trouble with some things, or some things happened to me. And this might help somebody. I don't have the testimony that when I started pastoring and stuff, everything worked out good for me, and my family was intact and that kind of thing and stuff. What happened to me was my oldest daughter, I hadn't been pastoring long, and she was 20 years old, and she got pregnant. And so here I was, you know, young, just started pastoring. And so I go talk to the pastor. And so he say, well, you know, I done got old now. You know, that's when he pointed me down here to the apostle. And so I had got so messed up. And but this is the thing that happened. Okay, after that passed and everything was, it looked like it was starting to move again. My second daughter, same thing happened. And so so now I'm ready to quit the ministry. I say, this ain't supposed to be happening. So I started following the apostle now. So, I mean, I hadn't told him, you know, what all had went on with me and that kind of thing. I hadn't told him any of that. But so I said, God, this ain't supposed to be happening like this. And so I said, I'm not going to preach no more. I'm just going to quit the ministry and everything. And the Lord said to me, The Lord said to me, did you do it? I said, Lord, you know I didn't do it. He said, well, you're not going to hold your head down. And this is what he said to me. He said, do you think I'm a good father? Because, see, I start, you know, all that started hitting me. I'm not a good father. All this stuff starts hitting me. So the Lord said, am I a good father? I said, yes, Lord, you are a good father. He said, well, why did Adam do what I told him not to do? He said, because Adam had choices. He said, in the same way, your children have choices. So this is what he told me. He said, just because a lawyer is a lawyer don't mean that his children won't get in trouble. But if they get in trouble, he know the law and he can get them out of trouble. Then he said, just because a doctor is a doctor don't mean that his children not going to get sick. But if they get sick, he got a remedy. He said the same way, just because you're a pastor don't mean that your children are not going to fall into sin. He said, but if they fall into sin, you have the word to be able to pull them out. And man, look here. From that time, I walk with my head up, didn't care. And see, this is the time you better be dead when folks start talking about you, how you pastoring and this is happening to you and that kind of thing and stuff. But you got to know. But this is the point that I really wanted to make. Had I found apostle before I started, I never believed any of that would have happened. You know why? Because I put ministry in front of everything else. Everything else was just, you know, and then I had a job. My job was real, you know, calling for me a lot and stuff. You know, I had to be going and going and going. So ministry. So I was neglecting my children. I was neglecting my family. But if I had caught a hold of apostle back then, he told me, say, hold up, son. Hold up now. You have to pay some attention to your family. Now, this is the thing that really blessed me when I first came and I started hearing him. He said, first of all, I don't let people put my children up like they Jesus, they supposed to be the example. That's right. He said, I don't do that. But see, I let all that pressure be on my children. I let them go through all kind of stuff, you know, because I thought that that's what's supposed to be. That. But I didn't have nobody to really, to father me, to really show me. That's why I'm telling you, I am so thankful to God for my man and God, my man and my woman. Oh, Lord Jesus, my God. I never would have been able to come out of a rut if I wouldn't have had somebody. And then when I finally told him what was going on with me, he told me, he said, that's all right. He said, you got brighter days ahead of you, son. And whenever I had some situations, some problems and stuff, and guess what? You know, he sat down and he said, do this, and do this. And guess what? I do exactly what he's saying. And guess what? Come right on out of it. So it's so important to, as it relates to ministry and stuff, that you don't get, one scripture said that the scripture talks about casting out devils and doing all that. And Schambach wrote a book about how to cast out devils and still go to hell. And so, you know, you could think you're doing so much work in the ministry and stuff, but you can't leave your family. Can't leave your family. You can't. And a man and his wife got to have a relationship. They got to have a close relationship. He can't be letting nobody else come in on him. And same thing with a woman. She can't. All right, y'all. That my time is gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll pick up next week.